by about day three, I was thinking, flipping heck, and four more days of this. Oh, I must be relaxing.
So hang on, that photo you posted of you and relax, that was in the first 10 seconds, was it?
Yes.
Lie down on sunbed, take photo, create evidence, and then move on. Sorry, I just wanted to ask, that tension, did you mean for you or for the family?
Yes.
Or both? Everybody, the waiter. Yeah. Antigua, in a way, this is going to sound a very strange thing to say. In a good way, I was really ill for the first 3 days.
Okay. And I know he really wants me to, well, he did want me to be there before we went.
Hi, Carrie.
That's really shrill.
Okay. Let me just, was it too loud?
It was a bit, just sounded a bit mental as the first thing.
What, me?
It was a
bit, hi, Carrie.
Yeah, something just a bit more.
Okay.
I don't know. Just less.
Hello, Carrie.
Maybe more.
I'm doing that water skiing thing. You fall forwards and you fall back. Yeah. All right.
Find the balance.
Find the balance. The balance, active point. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Nikki. And hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm really lovely.
Oh, we said we weren't going to.
No,
you are really lovely.
Right, I am really lovely. I'm feeling really lovely.
Oh,
hi,
my
Carrie.
God.
All right, start again.
Okay.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Nikki, and hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. So, Nikki, as you know, I've just got back from my holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And?
Well, I have a lovely tan, as has been commented on by people.
I know, I've seen it.
Oh, but, oh, it's thrown up. I think that's something I'd really like to talk about today. I don't know what your experience of holidays are, because I can,
well, as you know, and you pointed out in one of the podcasts, I did go on a very lovely holiday
you
recently.
Did you
so
did.
I'm sure we can find something to plunder amongst all this.
Yeah, so I've just spent a week in Tenerife, and I think one of the things that I have I haven't just discovered it, it's something I've known for a long time. So my husband and I have very different ideas of what makes a holiday. And he's very open about it. He wants to, I think his ideal holiday would be to go somewhere where you can sleep in, roll out of bed and walk a few meters to get some food, to walk a few meters to lie on a sunbed. And all you do is stay on the sunbed all day reading. And dozing, other than to walk a few meters to get food, and then have an evening meal, and then have a pretty, you know, early night, because he really gets into his reading and he just completely downs.
That sounds just up your street.
Oh my God, it's like.
I can see where we might be going here.
So, funnily enough, that's not quite how I holiday. But I love the sound of it. You know, in principle, because I'm so busy all the time. And I get to point and think, oh, I can't wait. And I always say these words, I can't wait to just stop and relax. Mm. And my family, they literally have a joke about me. And when I go on a holiday, that I will get there. And obviously, I find the whole organisation of the travel and the getting there and everything else quite stressful in itself. It causes quite a lot of anxiety, because I'm almost certain that I will have booked us in under the wrong names, forgotten to log, you know, all of that mental load is stressful for me.
Yep.
So I think I can't wait to get there and just relax. So I get there. And the sun is out, and I will get, you know, change into my swimming cozy, put on the sun cream, lie on a bed and go, ah, oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be about a 5 second pause. And then, and this is what my family do in their impression of me, I sit up and go, who wants to do something?
Sorry, how many minutes in was this?
Oh, I mean, we're not even talking minutes.
Oh, it's, seconds.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I'd probably, now that I'm really aware of it, try and drag it out.
So hang on, that photo you posted of you, and relax, that was in the first 10 seconds, was it?
Yes.
Lie down on sunbed, take photo, create evidence, and then move on.
Well, it was only because some of our friends had said, if you post one of those I'm on holiday photos, I'm going to just comment, I hate you. So I thought I would. But yes, and it's when I was younger and all the family were there and I had the kids, in some ways it was easier because you don't get to sit down into the same level. But I've only got a 15-year-old who comes with us now, and 15-year-olds are quite happy to lie around doing not very much. But actually, all joking aside, it causes tension. It causes a lot of things to come up for me. So what's your experience when you go on holiday? How is it for you?
So, sorry, I just wanted to ask, that tension, did you mean for you or for the family?
Yes.
Or both? Everybody, the waiter. Yeah.
I think, yeah, but it causes internal tension for me because I really try to stop. I do enjoy reading, and I can enjoy a couple of hours reading a book. That's not a problem, but I cannot just be.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm better off traveling than holidaying. If I'm traveling, I'm fine.
Yes.
If I'm holidaying,
yes,
that's where it doesn't work so well. But I know that my husband really loves it, and I know he really wants me to, well, he did want me to be there before we went.
Yes, that may have changed, of course.
I think he was probably not so sure while we were there. So what about you? What's your experience of it?
Yes, yes. Well, okay, so I've had, of course, 12 thoughts at once. So the first thought is, I think I'm incredibly lucky that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I've selected very carefully. Which sounds like I'm having a go at you or not. No. So I'm very lucky that my wife and some of my previous partners all like doing active stuff. Mm. So we've had that in common. And as you know, my partner goes skiing once a year, which is great because I stay at home because I don't want to go skiing anymore. It's not my thing. Windsurfing's my thing, as has been mentioned. So we both go windsurfing in September, but she goes skiing on her own in January with her family.
Yeah.
Which works really well because then I can potter about in the house and it's just me and Pebbles the cat. And we sort of knock about and I can leave stuff out if I want to. And so I get some space and she does exactly what she wants to do. And she doesn't have to worry about me. And it works really well. Hmm. And then when we go windsurfing, we basically lie on the beach all morning. And then the afternoon when the wind blows, the wind being called Eric in Vasiliki, it's manic activity for a certain amount of time, depending how long the wind's blowing. Mm. And then you just collapse in the bar or on the beach again. And it's so you get that blend of the two things going on. And you know pretty much, even if the wind's not blowing, there's still things you can do out on the water. It's set up that way. And so for me, that works really well. The other holiday that I really love, like you, is travelling. So we have done some sort of epic trips around the USA and things. And so I think finding a way through what works for you, and maybe this is a template. Okay, so you had a week, didn't you?
Yeah.
So was a week too long?
Yes and no. I think by about day three, I was thinking, flipping heck, four more days of this. Oh, but then by the end, I think... I don't know whether I'd had a bit of a reset, but I was thinking, oh, okay, I'm starting to adjust to this a bit.
Yes.
But I wasn't sad to come home.
Yes. I don't know about you, but because I love being busy and there's always stuff going on in my head, always, I kind of don't want to meditate. I don't want to do my hypnotherapy tapes. I just want to keep chugging away with the motor. I don't want to stop. I don't want to do any of those things. No, don't make me stop. And actually, when I do, and when I meditate, I feel great. And I feel calm. And all those lovely things you've been talking about. And there's an element of that with the holiday is sort of being able to get through the first bit where it's all, you're still churning, your mind's still going, and to get to the point where I do, I'm switching to me, I do allow myself to stop. And I think that's where the windsurfing helps. Interesting. Sorry, were you going to say something then?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I know what you mean, but I think for me, one of the problems is like on day one, so I planned, as I do with my nice little strategies that keep me sane, I planned to, I'd said to myself, well, I will probably get up earlier than everybody else. I'll go for a run. So I took my running stuff and I went out running. And that first morning, it was great. I did the running. At the resort that we were staying in, they did a yoga class. So I went to the yoga class. They did an aqua gym class. I went to the aqua gym class. Yes. Well,
you didn't mention all these things. Just
well, so, by the way. Here's the interesting thing. Mm-hmm. So I had a plan for day one. And it worked and I was okay day one. But then what happened is I hadn't planned like I normally do. And I think I've talked before about how how I have to be so rigorous with my scaffolding. So day two came and I fell into the free fall space of no scaffolding whatsoever. And not being able to then start anything. So I actually didn't go running the entire rest of the holiday. I didn't do any of the other yoga classes or aqua gym. Why? Because I couldn't start them. So I found myself falling into this. I mean, I did other things instead. So we were quite near the local town. So I went walking and I went down to the beach and my younger son was there and we went off and did things together. And we, very fortunately, his best friend happened to be on holiday in the next town along. So we walked along at the beachfront and we met them and we had brilliant times in the sea and all the rest of it. So we did that twice. So that was good because I needed that social interaction because, you know, the other thing when we were on holidays, my husband, because he likes to read, he to be honest, he could quite happily go and has go on holiday on his own. So it's not that he's antisocial. He's just very happy in his own little world. And I start thinking, gosh, I must be quite annoying because I'm bouncing about all over the place saying, well, why don't we do this and why don't we do that? And of course, I feel it becomes tension, I think, because I feel like, or he feels that he must be being really boring and starts feeling a bit guilty about just wanting to be him on holiday. I start feeling sort of a bit, not resentful, but I feel a bit, well, yeah, maybe I do feel a bit resentful and a bit, oh, come on, can't we just do this? Can't we do that? But he does join in things and do things, but it's his holiday too, you know? And so it's just really difficult. And so I end up sitting on the sunbed and I notice that my legs are going, my feet are jiggling, my hands are fiddling, I'm tapping, I'm verbally sort of going and all those sorts of, oh.
Displacement activity that, you know, so it's you want to be doing something else. And yeah. So you do these little movements to sort of deal with it, which is very ADHD, isn't it? I was just thinking, there's some things that are sort of standing out here, which is a bit like I was saying, my wife going on holiday on her own skiing. Is there some way that you could give both of you what you need? I mean, the thing that stood out was the fact that your son's best friend was just down the beach. And maybe it's going on holiday with another couple or something, not with, but maybe not. Okay, but some way that you could get your interaction without him feeling boring or guilty or whatever, and without you feeling resentful or whatever else you might be feeling, because you both recognise that you have different needs. And it was interesting to me because when you said about the scaffolding, or when you said about the activities on day one, and that went really well, that I wonder if you've got a programme running that on holiday you're supposed to not have scaffolding. It should be spontaneous and it should be nice and relaxed and blah, 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 and not what you do when you're not on holiday. Because I think a lot of us have that programme, including me, that there are rules about what you do on holiday.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's a really good point.
And they're subconscious. They're going on in the background. And so as we know, when we're aware of those rules, we can decide if they're working for us, and if they're not, what we can do instead. Any thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good point. Definitely, you know, I must be relaxing. I mean, I even took, no, I didn't take work with me this time. I have done in the past. But I'd thought to myself, oh, this is a really good time to do some sort of creative work about my business and all of those sorts of things that I want to do that I don't get time to think about because I'm too busy doing everything else. Mm. I thought, oh, this would be a lovely time. But then I don't do it because,
yep,
partly because I haven't got any scaffolding and I just can't start it. So I just fall into this sort of like zombie state.
Okay, so you've got this very recent example of what happens when you don't have any scaffolding. So could you have the ground floor scaffolded so that, or half the house or something, so you have some sort of minor scaffolding that helps you rather than the full scaffolding?
Well, one of the things that worked well is I met this nice family.
Yes.
And so I found myself, I would chat to them, and then in the evenings we would sit together, and that was really nice. Mm. Because they were good fun, they were good laugh. And so my husband and I talked about this because he didn't necessarily want to come and do the evening. I mean, it was, they were all just silly, you know, typical holiday resort evening activities. There was, I don't know, there was like a bingo night or a quiz night. He was like, I'm really not fussed about it. It was musical theatre quiz. So I was like, oh my God, this is me. So he said he didn't want to go to those, and I went with the other people, which was fine. And that's the thing. But actually going on holiday with another couple or another family,
it's not your thing.
I'd find that really hard to manage. I could do it on my own, but I think as a couple and a family, I find that quite difficult.
Yeah.
So I think it's, there's definitely an amount of balance needed. And actually, you know, we're going away in about 3 weeks. But this is traveling. We're going to Berlin and then catching the train up to Krakow and going to Krakow. That will be fine because I can plan and do and go out and explore and all of those sorts of things. Mm. And we do then do our own things as well. So he's going on a golf holiday and I have my girly things that I go away and do. So we are both quite independent and we do enjoy our own things.
Yeah.
It's just this stopping sort of holidaying rather than travel holidaying that I had problems with. Mm. I mean, how did you find when you went to Antigua?
I've got a note. I'll come back to that. I just wanted to ask you about whether, because you're doing these other things independently, how much have you got invested in the holiday with your husband? It's the holiday with your husband. And we were talking about the rules for holidays. Is there something going on about it's got to be perfect, it's got to be great because this is the one that we have? No?
No.
Okay. I'll move on from that then.
No, we're quite chilled about that sort of thing. In fact, we were both like, because it's the first time we've gone away not in the summer. Mm. We thought, oh, let's go in February this year because winter's long and horrible. Mm. And we were both saying, oh gosh, I haven't even given it much thought. So no, I don't expect it to be perfect. And it's not like it's just the two of us, because my son is there as well. But I do wonder if there's something about maybe we take it a bit for granted and we don't plan it enough. And so, yeah, we probably don't talk about how we're going to make it work enough. And so we both end up feeling a bit frustrated, I think.
Is your lack of scaffolding, because I mentioned it, I wondered whether it was to do with, because it's a holiday, you shouldn't have scaffolding or something, some belief.
Yeah, I think it is.
I also wonder if it's that, you know, you were saying whether he was feeling he was being boring or whether you're wondering whether you're being disloyal if you go off and do all these things all the time. I'm using the word disloyal. I don't know. Something in that direction.
No, because I know he does. No, we as a couple are very independent and we very much do our own things anyway. So it wouldn't be that.
OK, so what is it then?
What about the lack of scaffolding?
No, what is it about not putting things into place? Because it worked on day one.
What do you mean? Why didn't I do it? Mm. Because I'd only planned day one. And by the end of day one, I sort of was like, oh, it'll just happen. But of course, it just didn't just happen because I didn't concretely plan it. And then by that time, I'd run out of scaffold, so then I couldn't put it back in.
Oh, you'd lost momentum?
Yeah, maybe that's the word for it.
Of your normal daily life?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, I wonder if there's a fear that if I stop, and this might be based on evidence, and I kind of relate to this, if I stop, I'll never get going again.
I don't have a fear of it, but that is what happens. But there's not a fear. There was no conscious thing. It was a case of, oh, plan day one, go to sleep without having thought about day two, not for any reason other than I just didn't think about it. Got up day two, no scaffolding.
Yeah.
And that's how it stayed. Then I can't get started.
Yeah. You were telling me a while back in one of our chats about when you were at uni, and that's, I think, where you started to learn about the scaffolding, because you'd wake up in the morning and you'd rearrange your pen collection and you'd do everything but knuckle down and get on with stuff. And then you realised at some point in your journey that you need to sort yourself out the night before so that you're ready the next day. Is that a fair summary of what you told me?
Yeah, yeah.
So perhaps if that could be applied to your holidays in future, would that be helpful?
It probably would. And then I suppose there is an internal resistance of like, oh, for God's sake, you're on holiday.
I know. And that's why I'm talking about the half scaffolded house.
Yes.
So I don't know. Maybe there's something in there that you could do.
Like a morning activity or...
Yeah, or something to get you going. Oh, because of transitions with ADHD minds, we're not great at transitions and getting started. So if you have one thing, would that then give you impetus for the rest of the day, do you think?
Possibly. And it also makes me feel better about... Or not better, that sounds like there's a judgment on it and there isn't. More able to sit down and relax and read a book in the afternoon because I've done things.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose the other thing that comes into that is that I don't drink as a rule. Mm. But on holiday, you end up having a couple of glasses of wine. No, I'm not a, you know, big drinker or anything, but I have a few glasses of wine. And then, of course, you don't sleep as well. And then you wake up in the morning. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I think that probably didn't help. Yeah. I probably would be better if I just stayed not drinking. But again, you know that. But you're on holiday.
You're on holiday. Yes, the programme runs that we are on holiday. We have to do things differently. And yeah. No, I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. There's definitely a programme. Whereas my husband is more able to... I think he does find it hard to adjust. I think most people I...
I think we ought to.
I'm thinking about most people I know. I don't know whether I'm thinking about the people I know who are neurodivergent, though. But a lot of people I know find it hard to adjust to being on holiday.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do know people who are just like, yeah, brilliant, I'm on holiday, and manage it really well.
Well, I think we're all different, aren't we? So
yeah, I don't have a problem with not being like everybody else. Oh my God, if I did, life would be unbearable.
Well, I think I've made a virtue of being different from everyone.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, perish your thought, I should be normal.
Yeah.
So no, I like being different. I like being a windsurfer. I like being a motorcyclist. I like being a dispatch rider. Gay, all sorts of things. I do like being different, although I want to fit in. There we are. Mm. There's the ADHD conundrum for you in one sentence.
Similarly with, I want to have, you know, I want to be free to do what I want to do, but actually I want structure. Mm. But then I don't want the structure because I want to be free, but I need the structure. And yeah, it's the never-ending cycle, really, isn't it?
That is the thing. So. As I know only too well, as an ADHD, we love the thought of the freedom, but actually we need the structure. That's the thing. And the structure is really helpful and beneficial, but we rail against it.
Yeah.
We don't want it, but we do. Exactly what you just said.
Yes.
So you asked me about Antigua.
Yes.
Well, Antigua, in a way, this is going to sound a very strange thing to say. In a good way, I was really ill for the first 3 days.
Okay.
I had the chorus cold that we got in America.
Okay.
And so when we arrived on the Sunday evening, I really didn't feel well. There's a photo of me on Facebook and I just looked really spaced out. And it's like, ugh. And we're sitting outside in 28 degrees or whatever it was. And I was sweaty and it was horrible. Anyway, I woke up the next morning. I say woke up, barely woke up. And I felt dreadful. I felt like poleaxed. Worse cold, much worse than COVID. It wasn't COVID, but I took a test with me. But it wasn't COVID, but it felt like the worst. It was like flu, and I stayed in bed all day, and I was dosing myself up with the umpteen things that I always dose myself up with and so on. to the point where my wife had to bring me a Red Cross parcel food with some roasted veggies for dinner in a little takeaway thing. Aww. And she went out for dinner on her own. I ate them and went straight back to bed, and I just felt dreadful. Next morning, 50% better. It was unbelievable. It was like a little miracle. And it lasted 3 days, which was phenomenal. I was very, very chuffed. And then...
And how long was your holiday in total?
It was 10 days.
Okay.
So I had 7 days where I wasn't ill, basically, or just residually, just a bit of a sniffle and so on. And so I stayed in the room in the air conditioning pretty much for 3 days. I think I went down to the beach. I may have gone down for 10 minutes on day one, felt so dreadful, dragged myself back. My wife had to get me off the bed, the sunbed. I couldn't even stand up. So I went back to bed. And the next day, it wasn't quite so bad, but it was blooming hot. And I'm not really good with heat, but I stupidly hadn't really considered this. I was genuinely thinking more about my wife needing a holiday at that stage. And we were going to do a road trip to Florida and all this kind of stuff. And then I said, oh, would you like to go and lie on a beach in the Caribbean? And she said, yes. So that's what we did. And I hadn't looked at the weather forecast. It was most unlike me. And the minimum was 28 degrees. At 4 o'clock in the morning, it was 28 degrees.
Well.
So I couldn't do my exercise like I do when we go to Greece. I couldn't do my exercise in the morning before the day gets hot. I'd go yomping up the hill or something. I couldn't do that. And so in the end, we did manage to figure out a way to get some sort of exercise by walking down the beach and down the road. But it wasn't my normal sort of stuff. And so on about day two, no. So it would have been about day four once I was feeling better. I started to feel really claustrophobic and trapped. And I knew she was having a lovely time just lying on the beach in the sun. So I would go down and spend some time down there to be sociable and sort of sit with her and then escape back to the room for lunch and then go down for an hour or so in the afternoon. And then it felt like I was escaping back to the air conditioning. Mm. It was really interesting. And then I'm in the room, so I'm feeling trapped and not sociable. So suffice to say, I won't be rushing back. And it's nothing about Antigua itself. And apparently it's one of the least humid islands. So goodness knows what the others are like. I've been to one years ago, but that... Dominican Republic, that wasn't quite the same. And I just felt the opposite of free. I was relaxed. I was relaxed in a way because it was warm and I wasn't doing very much. I was reading a lot. Because I wasn't completely well, that was that's why I said it was kind of a good thing in a way, because it made me stop. Mm. But it's not how I would choose to spend my holiday. If I were going to do, or next time I'm doing a holiday, I'd much rather do the windsurfing or the travelling in America or even around Greece or something. I've done that before now, and I found that really lovely. I don't need to be going to, you know, historical monuments and that sort of thing. Just moving.
Yeah.
Just travelling, seeing things, yeah. Experiencing, talking to people, listening to people. What do you think?
Well, first of all, yes, I get that. And I think heat is a bit, I mean, I love the heat. I don't mind it. 28 degrees, I'm all right with that. But I can see how, I really understand what you're saying about feeling claustrophobic.
Hmm.
Because I like to be able to get out. I'm an outdoorsy person like you. And to have that sort of, yeah, you can feel. And I think sometimes if you're on a resort, you do feel a bit, oh, I'm just here now, and you don't have access to your car. You don't really have access to necessarily lots of public transport and to go anywhere and do anything.
Mm.
So I definitely get that. Did you feel did it mentally or emotionally affect you at all? Because I feel that when I'm in that sort of situation, I'm on a holiday and then I end up thinking, oh, I'm not having such a good time because I'm discombobulated, I'm all sort of out of sorts, I'm tapping and flicking and, you know, twitching and, you know, I don't feel relaxed. I then really berate myself because it's like, oh, for goodness sake, you're on a holiday, come on, you
be grateful,
be grateful, enjoy yourself, because you know, you've spent money on this and it's your holiday. And do you do that? Do you put that pressure on yourself?
I'm trying to think back. See, this was the first time that I've felt this way, possibly ever, certainly recently, because I'm lucky enough to have the sort of holidays that suit me.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Or lucky enough to have the partner who wants to do the same things. And because we've got that windsurfing element in there, or supping or whatever else we happen to do if the wind's not up, it I know in the afternoon, so it's the opposite of what you're saying about the morning. I know in the afternoon I'm going to be doing something physical. Not as long as I'd like because of my health condition, but I can go out and do something. And so in the mornings, I'm quite happy to relax because I know in the afternoon I'm going to have that thing going on, whatever it is. And, oh, that's interesting. I've got permission in the mornings to not do anything. Isn't that weird? That's literally just come up. I'm allowed to not do anything in the morning. Oh, there's a value here. This is my mum. This is my mum, who was always busy and would tell you she was always busy. I'm always busy. I'm always busy. And I won't be beaten and all these things, all these programs. And because she was my mum, she was kind of massively important to me and huge influence on me. So I think there's a motor thing coming from my mum inadvertently. Bless her, she didn't mean to. But because she was always busy and never stopped, except when she was on holiday, interestingly. So I have permission to not do anything in the mornings because I know I'm going to be busy in the afternoon, enjoying myself. So that doesn't really answer your question directly, but there's something in there, is there?
Yeah, there is actually. That is interesting. And I think you're right. I think if I had something planned in the afternoon, I would probably be all right to know I could chill in the morning. So maybe that's the answer. I know I need to have a fixed point, like a flag in the ground somewhere on the landscape of the day that goes, that isn't just meal times or something, that is a bit of a plan. And I mean, that's my family is very much like that, you know. Even to this day, my dad's sort of like, right, says to my mum, right, what are we doing today? Or it's all structured.
Yeah.
I think there's also possibly something about going on holiday with children that I'm not used to just sitting down and doing nothing. You know, having my oldest son's 28 now. So for 28 years, I've been holidaying with children who are like, mum, come in the pool, come and do this, let's do that. You've got to keep them entertained. Whereas a 15-year-old, you don't have to.
Yes.
You know, he just sort of, I mean, we did do things together and he's good fun and he'll, you know, we went off and did our thing at times and played stuff together and had a real laugh. But maybe maybe a part of it is a mum thing that I'm just not very good at sitting down. And if he was just sort of lying around, he's like me, he's not very good at sitting still either. So if ever he was sitting, listening to music or whatever, I thought, in half an hour, he'll be up wanting me to do something with him. So that gives me a sense of restlessness. And because we didn't specifically have things planned, like when you're traveling, like we're going here today or we're doing this today. Yeah, maybe there's an element of that as well. I was listening to the ADHD Adult podcast, which is another great ADHD podcast. And Alex on that was talking about, and I'd never heard the phrase used before. And I thought that sums up better than anything how I used to feel. And it's called he described it as domestic anxiety.
Oh, yes, yes.
So he said that he used to get home from work and in his working day, he could be quite structured and organized. And then he would pull up on the drive and he knew he was coming in to like 4 hours of complete, like just time with my family that isn't structured. It's just this yawning, vast, I'm saying like abyss.
An abyss of family time.
They're not positive words. But this barren landscape, time-wise, of time with your family. And at the end of that is, and then the children go to bed sort of thing.
Yes.
And he described that as having, he called it domestic anxiety. And he ended up having to put some structure into that of like, I will do this for an hour and then I will go and do this. And then I can do this for half an hour with the kids. And then I need to do this. And that's the only way he could sort of manage it. And I'm really paraphrasing what he was saying. But it really resonated with me. And I know we're sort of going slight off topic from holidays, but it's a similar sort of thing, as I said, about being, maybe it's a parenting thing. But I used to feel that with my children, that sort of you'd get up in the morning and just like, I've got the whole day with my children ahead of me, or I'm coming in and I've got the whole evening at home with my children. And that was when I really latched on to this scaffolding. You know, like you said, there were elements of it that I put in place at uni, not very successfully. I learnt more when I was teacher training, and you have to be quite organised, and I had a good mentor. But it was really when my late husband died, and it was just me then and the children, having to sort of put some signposts along the way to sort of demarcate the day. Otherwise, it just went on, and it was absolutely this social anxiety. Mm. So linking it back to holidays, I do wonder if there's an element of that, of just sort of, I've got this whole day of barrenness with no flags in the ground anywhere along it to demarcate the time. And it makes me feel quite anxious, actually, especially if I know that I've got a child potentially to look after, even though they don't want to be looked after.
Someone I know has a thing about not being able to decide what to do when they've got a whole day at the weekend, and they look forward to the weekend, then they get there and they can't decide what to do, and it becomes a stress. And so it kind of links with that, I think. It's having lots of options and none of them standing out, because we've got this horizontal menu in our heads. So instead of having the sort of vertical hierarchy neurotypicals apparently have, where there's a pecking order and an obvious what should I do first kind of thing, or at least fairly obvious. For the ADHD mind, everything is like a menu. You want everything, or you don't want anything. It's all equal. And that's what happens with time. And so if we don't have those flags that you're talking about, the markers, it becomes tricky to decide what those flags should be, where they should be. And then we're spoilt for choice. And then there's overwhelm. And then if we do decide...
And you don't even know where the flags are.
No, or what they are. Exactly. So I've written down kids - demanding ? Are kids demanding? Having kids, is that demanding?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So having a job is demanding. What was I watching the other day or listening to? And they were saying that having a child... Oh, it was on Diary of a CEO. She was talking about sex. And she was saying that having children adds at least a 40-hour week to your 40-hour week. At the very least. So even if you've got two parents doing the parenting. And so it's not surprising you're exhausted and you don't, you're not up for it. So that was what she was saying. But it occurred to me that having children... I think terrifying might be a strong word, but I find it makes me very uncomfortable to think of having to sort of entertain another being in the world for a full day. It sounds like, oh my God. And if that's what you've done every day for umpteen years, well, the more power to is all I can say. Any parent, I think it's the hardest job in the world from the outside looking in. I mean, I've been a child, so I know it from that point of view, but it's, I had parents. but it just, I literally don't know how you do it or how you've done it. And so if it's got some fallout from all of that, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think that's it. Maybe it is having those flags and thinking, you know, if I were to go on holiday, and I say if, because I think we both came home like,
well, ever again,
we need to rethink our holiday choices. No, to, you know, traveling, we both like traveling. So I think traveling rather than holidays is probably the best way to do it. And
yeah, I'll put my hand up. Because
yes,
I've had a thought. It's only a minor thought, but traveling somewhere where you can lie on a beach for a day or two,
yes,
and then move on.
We've talked about that. Yeah.
So that would give both of you hopefully what you want.
Well, you see, we did do that one year. We hired a camper van and we drove from the top of France down to the bottom and back up for a month.
Oh, brilliant!
With my youngest son, and that worked really well because we did all the sort of travelly bits. But then we booked into a couple of campsites along the way that had pools and everything else, so that we could have that little bit of R&R. And I did enjoy that. I did feel able to enjoy the chill because it was a lull in between the activity. But I think my takeaways from this will be about maybe for those of us who feel that similarly as I do about holiday, it is having some sort of ground floor scaffolding in place, that there is something every day on the to demarcate it, whether that be first thing in the morning, I'm going to get up and do this, or in the afternoon, I'm going to do this. That probably balances out and prevents that sort of social anxiety, domestic anxiety, I mean.
Yeah.
But also the day just yawning out ahead and that ill ability to start anything.
I think there'll be a lot of people listening who may well resonate with that.
Mm.
And also, oh yes, if you demarcate something in the afternoon, you can have a drink the night before because the morning won't matter. You can just lie there and recover.
Yeah.
It gives you that flexibility to change your rules from day-to-day normal life, if you like, your rules or your normal...
habits, patterns?
Your habits, your daily habits can change when you're on holiday. So you're building in some sort of structure, scaffolding, in advance without it being too draconian.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Really good. I like that. Yeah, the afternoon. I like that.
So your takeaway is that. Mine is to remind myself to check out how hot a place is.
Who would have thought Antigua was hot?
Duh. There's a surprise. You know, when you're on a train, this is actually very ADHD. When you're on a train of thought about something and you're focused on that train of thought. So in this case, it would be really nice for my wife if we went away and just lay on a beach. And actually, that's fine because we're having a manic time in America first, doing our singing competition. And by the way, if you were listening before, we came back with a silver medal. We haven't mentioned that. So my thinking was, we got a really busy time and it would be lovely to go and lie on a beach. Nikki, check the temperatures, see if it's cool in the morning. If it's cool in the morning, you're fine. If it's not, you're not. There we are. In a nutshell. Duh.
There we go. More things worked through, as always.
Well, thank you, Carrie. That was really interesting. Well, I found it interesting.
Brilliant. Good to speak to you as always, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Lovely.
Take care.
Bye. Thanks so much for joining us on our ADHD journey. If you can spare a sec, a review or ranking would be hugely appreciated by us. 5 stars would be marvellous, but whatever you think. Every single one really does help. As well as on your favourite app, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at theADHDConnection_podcast. So we hope to see you on there. Thanks again for listening, and bye for now.